I am resurrection and I am life, says the Lord. Whoever has faith in me shall have life, even though he die. And everyone who has life and is committed to me in faith shall not die forever. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
Good afternoon, everyone, and welcome to St. James Westminster for this celebration of life, this memorial, this funeral for Marlene Fagan. Would you please be seated? A few things before we begin. I'd invite the congregation to turn off your cell phones. This is a holy and a precious time. We gather to do something incredibly important today. And so if you wouldn't mind turning them off, that would be most appreciated. If during the service you have need of the washrooms, they are located through those doors, through the Sterling Vestry into the Great Hall, and then immediately on your left. Everything that you'll need for the service can be found in the bulletin in front of you and in the blue Book of Common Praise, which is our hymnal, which should be in the pews in front of you. With that, thank you and welcome. After the service, there will be a reception that you are invited to, again, through the Sterling Vestry and into the Great Hall. With that, I'd like to invite the family forward for some words of remembrance.
Good afternoon. She'd love that, sweetheart. American author Mitch Albom writes that behind all your stories is your mother's story, for hers is where yours begins. Born Eva Marlene, the first child of Helen Sutherland and Stafford Love. It was providence that Mom was born with that surname as she led with that moniker at every opportunity in her time here with us. Mom wanted to know everything that was going on in each of our lives. It gave her great delight to know how the grandchildren were and the great-grandchildren were, what they were doing, and even more delight in letting each of the siblings know what was going on in each other's life. She was the ultimate cheerleader for all of us. I asked the 10 grandchildren for adjectives that described their gram, and they came up with a number of qualities. I've grouped them together. Generous, loving, wonderfully caring. When you were talking to Mom, you were the only one in her gaze. She had the ability to make each one of us feel valued. You were seen by her loving spirit. Mom's love for her children was only topped by her love of her grandchildren and great-grandchildren. When we would arrive at the house with a baby in tow, Mom and Dad would come out to the car, say a quick hello to us, and then pick up the grandchild and off they would go. Before we could get into the house with all of the bags of stuff, Mom would then have the child out of the car seat, playing with the toys, having a conversation. Mom created an individual relationship with her grandchildren, making each of them the center of her attention. Warm, accepting, kind. That warmth was extended to many outside of the family. At our holiday dinners, there were often friends, old and new, around the table, folks who did not have other family in the area, choir members who could be on their own, and friends who became adopted family members. Mom delighted in spreading that love of hers through her food and her community. Loyal, steadfast, voice of reason, grounded. If you wanted an honest opinion of any situation, Mom would tell you. She had this amazing voice of reason mixed with say it like it is truth that was steadfast and loyal to you. Witty, a hoot, smile and laughter, intelligent. Mom loved to laugh. She had a wicked sense of humor and a quick wit, often using it to great effect. To the family, Mom's use of malaprops, or slightly the wrong word, is legendary, and she never let on that it just might have been deliberate. Though, if you were observant, you may have noticed a pause and a gentle smirk before uttering those words. Mom and I used to go to Toronto for singing lessons on a regular basis, and during one of those trips, Mom felt it was an opportune time to talk to me about birth control. So, trapped in the car, speeding down the 401, Mom, with a gentle grin on her face, told me that I needed to use condominiums. I explained to her that this might be why she had 5 children. The funny thing is, though, that Mom was tipping into laughter before she uttered those words. Many here knew Mom through music, her extraordinary, perfectly pitched gift. She used that gift to guide us during our piano practice, often calling from the kitchen while preparing a meal, "That's an F sharp, not a B flat." We were privileged to play on Mom's greatest possession, her Yamaha grand piano. That piano came into the family at a time when most people were getting dishwashers. Mom got the piano instead. We all have memories of Mom sitting down at the keyboard and without music, begin to play, meandering from one song to another while we did the dishes. Christmas decorations. Mom loved decorating for Christmas. Her favorite creation was a village of houses surrounding an ice rink. There was a working train, and all of it was sitting in drifts of snow, or cotton batten, on the lid of the closed grand piano. The grandchildren delighted in running the train and seeing the skaters swirl on the ice rink. Mom delighted in holding them up to see or standing beside them as they stood on the step stool. For Mom, all of these decorations and preparation meant that her family was coming home. Role model, inspiration, icon, collaborator. Mom was a role model. As one grandchild indicated, an inspiration that I would like to be like. Not comfortable in center spotlight, Mom worked behind the scenes. She was the collaborative pianist, the family glue, the ultimate cheerleader who is embedded in every fiber of our lives. Not just the DNA, but in the phone calls, the laughter, the bravery in the face of illness, the malaprops, the loyalty, the voice of reason, the butter tarts, and the fierce, fierce love. As her eldest grandchild says, Grandma loved her family, and her family loved her.
Mom's maiden name is Love, and she more than lived up to it. She had many love languages, hugs, cooking, sharing laughs. She loved nothing more than having us all together, but most impactfully for all of us was Mom's personal relationship with music and the profound yet simple ways she brought us into that beautiful world. We lived as a young family in Listowel. Dad was the high school music teacher, and Mom was the church organist and choir director. Mom shared, nurtured, and grew music in the community with multiple church choirs for all ages, weekly rehearsals, anthems every Sunday, special Christmas music services, multiple yearly cantatas. It was a very rich public community outreach. This community outreach through music was to become a cornerstone of Mom's public life, one that included her beloved Earl Terry singers. At home, we had a more intimate experience. Often after dinner, even before we did the dishes, Mom would go to the piano and call us 5 children in. She would start to play, teaching us the melody for a song, and then encourage us to harmonize by ear. We sang children's songs, music by the Carpenters, I loved that songbook, show tunes. As you know, Mom could play any song in any key, and she would encourage us to not sing the same notes as our sisters or brother beside us. John was really little and would also bring out his bongo drums to play. There were a few times we got to sing in church as a family, which we really loved. Mom would play and the 5 of us would sing a couple of religious pieces like Pat Boone's I've Got Confidence, each of us waiting for our turn to take the lead while the others harmonized. John also on bongos. I'm not sure if Knox Presbyterian Church in Listowel had ever had bongos played in a service. There was always music, of course. but specifically always singing. On road trips to Saturday morning auction sales or driving to dance classes, Mom would say, "Let's sing," and we would, for hours. Mom's love of singing with her family started with her sisters Gwen and Ruth, when in the 1950s they were the hit trio The Love Sisters, with performances in southwestern Ontario, including winning a radio contest in Detroit. They were the perfect family musical act, three beautiful sisters who harmonized effortlessly. They regrouped when all of us cousins were young adults, performed at a few concerts, and recorded a CD for the family. The love language of music lived on. Our lives became very busy when we moved to London. Mom and Dad now had multiple evening rehearsals, concerts every 3 weeks, and it was busy. Each of us kids were taking dance classes during the week and on weekends, plus Mom arranged for violin, oboe, bassoon, French horn, percussion, theory, voice lessons. We didn't sing around the piano as much during those years. But I know that when we were each home from school, and then as grown children visiting, we would sit next to Mom on the piano bench as she played, or lie on the floor under the piano and feel the vibrating hum of the keyboard. Sometimes we would sing, which she loved the most, and other times just listen as she moved seamlessly from one favorite piece to another. When the grandchildren came along, Mom would sit them on her lap at the piano, touching the keys, delighting at their reaction. When not at the piano, the grandchildren would be on her lap as she taught them songs and rhymes like, "This is the way the lady rides," or "I see the moon." Most epic, though, was the loud, rambunctious, multi-harmonized singing of Grace we would all belt out while holding hands before family meals. The great-grandchildren are the next in line and have already begun learning the songs that their parents remember from their childhood. It was a privilege to be raised in this very special way by this very special woman. Mom's legacy of music is her legacy of love.
How do you possibly describe a woman like my mom? So many of you know my mom for her professional acumen, her immense musical talents, her classiness and infectious smile, or just her innate ability to make the conversation she was having with you seem like that was the only thing that mattered. For me, she was so much more than that. You could take her talents and multiply it by an infinite number, and that is the beginning of the mother that she was. This was the job that she chose as her lifelong vocation, being a wife, mother, grandmother, and most recently a great-grandmother to five beautiful little souls. As the matriarch of our family, she took this as her most serious, and she lived it until the day she passed. She was our teacher, our confidant, our cheerleader, as Leslie says, and within the walls of our home, she was the epitome of the best of everything. She was a champion for the entire family, and if you spoke with her for any length of time, you most certainly would have heard stories of at least a few of us. Along with Dad, she ensured that as children, Leslie, Louise, Jennifer, Jonathan, and I were provided with all types of lessons. But she took that one step further, and before moving to London, would drive us from Listowel to Woodstock for our weekly dance lessons. Every Friday, my siblings and I would be excused from our schools, walk to the corner of the highway, wait for the big boat of a car to pick us up. It was a green LTD Ford station wagon, and it had an 8-track tape player. These kids don't know what that is. It was when you would open the car door, you would know it was for dinner. It was either egg salad sandwiches or, on a very lucky Friday, shake and bake chicken. The Friday drives were some of the best memories for me, although it wasn't always about getting to dance class, but rather spending time with Mom. When lessons were over, my mom would visit her own mother at the 1950-style Woolworths restaurant countertop. I'd get a root beer float, try to steal the candy, get caught. For the ride, Mom let each of us buy our own 8-track tape to go in the car player, where we would take turns listening to our choice. My favorite part of the weekly drive, however, was the late night home drive. Mom got to pick the music, and she always chose Tony Bennett.
While my siblings would sleep, I would remember gazing up at the sky and listen to my mother harmonize with the soundtrack. Every once in a while, I would try to join in just to emulate her a little bit. In preparation for yesterday and today, I spent hours searching through boxes and books of photographs. Not photos of the stage or performing, but family photos. Photos that showed Mom in her happiest moments. The resounding common denominator was when she was surrounded by her entire family. Like so many families, the kitchen was the hub of the house. Often this is where we would gather. It is where, when donning the homemade blue gingham apron with frilly sleeves, she taught us to cook, to bake, and patiently tried to teach all of us how to make her amazing pastry. Recipes handed down from generation to generation held a special spot in the little green box, now proudly owned by Jennifer. Mom loved having the living room transported into a space with the longest possible dining room table to squeeze us all in. She would sit proudly at the head of the table, chin against her neck, grinning ear from ear to ear, head on a tilt, smile with her beautiful eyes at the end of the table to see Dad, with so much pride. As our family grew with partners, children, and grandchildren, if it was even possible, she was happier still. As children, we knew that we shared her with so many outside of the walls of our home. I knew that she was beyond gifted and could have had a life of fame, concertizing anywhere she may have wanted, but she chose family, first and always. After Mom and Dad moved from Baseline to downtown, she was always trying to coordinate all of us together under the same roof at the same time. We didn't have the long table anymore, but we were together. As my grandfather Fagan would say, we were truly blessed. After Mom's fall and necessary move to Henley Place, she continued organizing various versions of a family get-together. Family was the resounding thing that kept her going every day, especially visits from Dad and updates on the grandchildren and the 5 great-grandbabies. And as little as 2 days before she passed, she was reiterating her hope for the next time we would all be together. It seems unreal that she's gone, but we live in a digital world, and with the touch of fingers, we can hear her voice, watch her piano playing, see her dancing and laughing, and that brings peace. We owe her the most heartfelt debt any family can owe their mother for her love, affection, guidance, understanding, and example. So to our darling mother, thank you for your love and devotion, for sharing your life and musical talents with us. Dad isn't speaking today. And on his behalf, he's provided me with a poem he wished me to recite. Do you ever lie awake at night, just between the dark and the morning light, searching for things you used to know, looking for a place where the lost things go? Do you ever dream or reminisce, wondering where to find what you truly miss? Well, maybe all those things that you love so are waiting in the place where the lost things go. Memories you've shed, gone for good you feared, they're all around you still, though they've disappeared. Nothing's really left or lost without a trace. Nothing's gone forever, only out of place. So when you need her touch and loving gaze, gone but not forgotten is the perfect phrase. Smiling from a star that she makes glow, trust she's always there. Watching as you grow, you'll find her. She's in the place where the lost things go.
What incredible stories and incredible memories. It seems like a fitting thing for us here gathered to stand and to lift our voices as we sing hymn number 384, found in your blue hymnal.
Oh, Would you remain standing as we pray together, please? O God, the maker and redeemer of all, grant us with your servant Marlene and all the faithful departed the sure benefits of your Son's saving passion and glorious resurrection, that in the last day, when you gather up all things in Christ, we may with them enjoy the fullness of your promises, through Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, God, forever and ever. Amen. Will you be seated, please? A reading from the prophet Isaiah. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord has anointed me. He has sent me to bring good news to the oppressed, to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and release to the prisoners, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all who mourn, to provide for those who mourn in Zion, to give them a garland instead of ashes, the oil of gladness instead of mourning, the mantle of praise instead of a faint spirit. They will be called oaks of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, to display his glory. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks.
I'd invite the congregation to stand for the reading of the Holy Gospel. The Lord be with you. This is the Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to St. Matthew.
Glory to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
When Jesus saw the crowds, he went up the mountain, and after he sat down, his disciples came to him. Then he began to speak and taught them, saying, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they will receive mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called children of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when people revile you and persecute you and utter all kinds of evil against you falsely on my account. Rejoice and be glad, for your reward is great in heaven. For in the same way that they persecuted the prophets who were before you, the gospel of Christ.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
I speak to you in the name of God, who creates, who redeems, and who sanctifies. Amen. Please be seated.
Is this working, do you think? Marlene would laugh because there are microphone problems. William Shakespeare famously wrote, and yes, there is a theme here, "If music be the food of love, play on. Give me excess of it, that surfeiting the soul may sicken and so die." We gather here in the presence of love, and of course that's a loaded word. Marlene's family name, love which shows itself in so many ways in this amazing family here gathered and this amazing company of friends. Music, which, if you just close your eyes even for a moment, you hear the music of love that was Marlene. Isaiah talks about oaks of righteousness, and Marlene is one of those oaks of righteousness, both then and now and in the days to come. Marlene lived out in so many ways that prescription of life that we might view Matthew's Sermon on the Mount and its wonderful beginning that we call the Beatitudes, that wonderful prescription that talks about meekness and honor and glory and listening and poverty and richness. All of those things come flooding back into us in this time when we gather together to remember, to give thanks, and to pray. Just as an aside, I have the Love Sisters CD in my car, and it is one of the things that I listen to when I'm stuck late at night on a road somewhere by myself, and I love it. There still might be the odd copy available. It's fantastic. It is simply fantastic. And the problem with listening to it while you're driving is that you're so busy dancing that you don't know which pedals you're dealing with sometimes. So it seems to me we come here to do three things. One is to acknowledge, as we must, the reality that Marlene has died. It's a huge loss, and it cuts through our hearts and our souls. And we need very much not to make light of it, not to use other language that glosses it over. We don't understand very much about death, even though we'd like to think we do. But Marlene's death is a very, very painful thing. And we need, in our way, as her circle of family and friends, to uphold each other, to give each other a shoulder upon which to lean and cry, to laugh with each other as we remember her, to be there for Jerry, for all of the children and the grandchildren as they deal with a loss that we can only begin to understand. And while it is ineluctable that we will all die, and that we will all have to face this in those whom we love the dearest, it doesn't make it any easier to accept, to understand, or to live through. And we as humans have the ability to mourn and to grieve and to weep. And we must do that. We must accept the finality and the reality of a human being's death to this life in this place. But we do so also because we humans have been given the gift of being thankful and remembering. And in the midst of the grief and in the midst of the pain of death, it is in that remembering, it is in that music of love, it is in that music that we hear surrounding us ethereally in this place, it is in that remembering the soul of love and the soul of music that allows us to be remembered, reassembled, re-put back together. And it is in that act that we can fully grieve and mourn and be thankful. I think that for most of us, however difficult it is to understand the finality of death, and even more difficult to talk about what's next, for all of us, we could hope and pray for nothing more than when our time comes, that people would come together, gather together as family and friends to give thanks. And what a life we have for which to be grateful and to give God grateful thanks. We've heard so much about Marlene's wonderful life from her family, Those of us who knew her well over many, many years know just how true all of those words were and how many more we could add. How many cups of coffee at 219 Baseline Road East? How many moderators' dinners, as they used to be called? How many wonderful times of listening to the Fagan family make music? How many times of seeing that particular smile on Marlene's face? How much of a difference Marlene Fagan made in this world? And if that could be said of you and me, then we have indeed lived good lives. That she made a difference to her family, to her friends, to the communities in which she lived, to so many people who knew her, listened to her, saw her, befriended her, and considered their lives blessed by her friendship to them. And so in the midst of the pain of death, we are thankful. We are grateful to God that God gave Marlene to this world and that God put her in our midst. And we will not stop being thankful because we will remember her for the rest of our lives. Because she has made an indelible mark on each of us. And every so often, her face, the sound of her voice, her playing, a memory will come back to us and we will be remade because we have the gift of remembering. And we say to God this day, thank you for Marlene. Thank you for all that she meant to us. Thank you for all the many things she did. And now welcome her home. Marlene was a person of deep faith, spent a lot of time in churches. Marlene and I used to have interesting conversations about churches, you can imagine. Marlene believed very deeply in all the wonderful things that faith gives us. Just like the rest of us, Marlene might not have been able to have been any more eloquent than you or I can be about it. But she was a person who understood that God was at the center of her and her family's life. And now we do that incomprehensible thing of asking God to welcome Marlene into heaven, to hold Marlene in God's hands. To have Marlene there until we meet Marlene again. We use all those words. We don't really have language that's terribly adequate. People ask me as I get older and longer in the tooth, what heaven is or where heaven is. Don't know. Can't tell you. And the older I get and the more I think about it, the more I realize, the less I know about it. But this I do know, that in the days and weeks to come, there will be moments when Marlene Fagan's face, voice, eyes, smile will hit me just as they will hit you. They will be a constant reminder to this family. And every time that happens, every time God graces me with a glimpse of Marlene, then I think that's heaven. I think that's what heaven is for me in the here and now, is seeing and hearing, thinking, remembering, believing. And I know that because of what I believe and because of what we in the Christian church profess, that Marlene is in a better place. That Marlene is with us in all sorts of ways. And so as we pray this day together, as we pray our words of thanksgiving and gratitude, as we pray those words of Isaiah about garlands of mourning, as we hear those words of Jesus through the pen of St. Matthew, as we offer our thanks from the bottom of our heart for this woman's life and for that music which is the food of love. which plays on in our hearts and in our souls. Then we also pray for her new home. And we pray that the heaven that Marlene is currently experiencing visits us, brings us closer to each other, closer to the ones we love, closer to her memory, closer and more in tune with the world God has given into our care. Well done, Marlene, thou good and faithful servant. That music which is the food of love plays on for you and for us. For that, we say thanks be to God. Amen.
I'd invite the congregation to stand and we'll sing together hymn number 381 in the blue hymnal. And we'll sing the first three verses. I'd like to invite everyone into a time of prayer, and so you may sit, stand, or kneel as is most convenient for you. Let us pray. Almighty God, you have knit your chosen people together in one communion, in the mystical body of your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Give to your whole church, in heaven and on earth, your light and your peace.
Hear us, Lord.
May all who have been baptized into Christ's death and resurrection die to sin and rise to newness of life. And may we, with him, pass through the grave and the gate of death to our joyful resurrection.
Hear us, Lord.
Lord, grant to us who are still in our pilgrimage and who walk as yet by faith, that your Holy Spirit may lead us in holiness and righteousness all our days. Grant to your faithful people pardon and peace, that we may be cleansed from all our sins and serve you with a quiet mind. And now, as our Savior Christ has taught us, we are bold to say, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
I would invite the congregation to stand as you are able. We come to that time in the service when we commend Marlene to God's gracious care and keeping. I would invite you to take a moment of silence to remember her. Give thanks for her life. To honor all that she meant to all of us. And we say together, Give rest, O Christ, your servants, your saints, where sorrow and pain are no more, neither sighing but life everlasting. You only are immortal, your Creator and Maker of all, and we are mortal, formed of the earth, and to earth shall we return. For so you do your name, when you create me, saying, You are dust. Into your hands, O merciful Savior, we commend your servant Marlene. Acknowledge, we pray, a sheep of your own fold, a lamb of your own flock, a child of your own redeeming. Receive her into the arms of your mercy, into the blessed rest of everlasting peace, and into the glorious company of the saints in light.
Amen. Be steadfast in hope, in faith, joyful in hope, and untiring in love all the days of your life. And the blessing of God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be upon you and remain with you always. Amen.
Let us now go forth in the name of Christ.
Thanks be to God.
I would invite you to be seated as we
Jesus loves me.
Thank you.
No. George Laylock. We met the other night at the fence. So George.
I have to tell you, what a girl.